So I pick it up, and then mom takes it, and she sprays it, and then she like sprays it on my arm. So then I like rub it on my knee, and so now my knee smells like that perfume, and I don't really appreciate it.
No bueno. Grab your hymnals, stand up, let's sing a little bit, then we'll get into our lesson.
I'm excited because I wasn't here Thursday.
Oh, you missed it, buddy.
Mom was recovering from being sick.
Last Thursday?
Yeah. Mom had gotten a little sick from what? I don't know. She just got sick, so she was recovering from being sick, so we didn't come Thursday.
Where are we floating with him?
I don't know.
Seems like a dangerous
His
thing.
His nervous twitch there.
I chose appropriately to be right under the fan, not on purpose.
Yeah.
That's scary.
This is where Macy usually sits.
I didn't know it was so nice.
It is nice.
Macy
lost her seat.
That's where I'm sitting next week.
Yeah. Yeah. Just sit on the roof. Why the boys finally
sit on the roof?
Alright, Caleb, open us up with a word of prayer and we'll get rolling.
Lord, thank you for bringing us here tonight, Lord. Thank you for giving us the opportunity to gather here tonight, Lord. I just pray that you just keep us safe and watch over us as we're getting busy with our schedules and just trying to keep our testimony and witness to other people, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
It also doesn't help that he raises and we're in, like, the top room of this church.
What was
Well, the attic. Other than the attic.
You go around and up. I think there's like another.
Would you say two?
That,
two
so like six. Storage. Two six.
Wonderful grace of Jesus. Wonderful grace two of Jesus.
Okay.
Oh,
is
housekeeping?
It's like someone too small.
Housekeeping.
Hello.
What is it?
Not allowed.
Oh my God.
All right, 206. Here we go. Wonderful, wonderful grace of Jesus. Here we go.
Wonderful grace of Jesus, greater than all my sin. How shall my tongue describe it? Where shall its praise begin? Taking away my burden, setting my spirit free. For the wonderful grace of Jesus, rolling sea, higher than a mountain, sparkling like a fountain, all sufficient grace for even me, and broader than the scope of my transgressions, greater far than all my sin and shame. Oh, magnify the precious name of Jesus. All the lost, by it I have been pardoned, saved to the uttermost. Chains have been torn asunder, giving me liberty. For the wonderful grace of Jesus reaches me. Mighty rolling sea,
it's higher
than the mountains, sparkling like a fountain, all sufficient grace for even me, and broader than the scope of my transgressions, greater far than all my sin and shame. Oh, magnify the precious name of Jesus. Praise Him. Grace of Jesus, reaching the most
defiled.
By its transforming power, making me God's dear child, He's purchasing peace and heaven for all eternity. For the wonderful grace of Jesus, Jesus, deeper than the mighty rolling sea, higher than the mountain, sparkling like a fountain, all sufficient grace for even me, scope of my transgression.
Sing it.
Greater far than all my sin and shame.
My sin and shame.
Oh, magnify the precious name of Jesus. Praise His name.
207. 207. Oh, happy day. Here we go.
Oh, happy day that fixed my choice on me, my Savior and my God. Well, may this glowing heart rejoice and tell its raptures all
about. Happy day!
Happy day! Happy day! When Jesus washed my sins away, He taught me how to watch and pray and live rejoicing. To Him who merits all my love, let cheerful anthems fill this house, while to that sacred shrine I move. Happy day, when Jesus washed my sins away. He taught me how to watch and pray, and live rejoicing every day. Happy day, happy day, when Jesus washed my sins away. 'Tis done, the great transaction's done. I am my Lord,
and
He is mine.
He
drew me in, I followed on, charmed to confess the voice divine. Happy day, happy day, when Jesus washed sins away. He taught me how to watch and pray and live rejoicing every day. Happy day, when Jesus washed my sins away. Now rest my long divided heart fixed on this blissful center rest, nor ever from
channels only. Sorry. 160. What's up?
Whenever we were like the we were on the third one, and we were like the second to last like curses.
Mm-hmm.
I realized all y'all's voices like dropped, and I was just like all
the good off. Man.
You
gotta go.
And I was like, so that just happened.
Harmony.
That's right. Here we go. Channels only. 160. Here we go.
How I praise Thee, precious Savior, that Thy love lay hold on me. Thou hast saved and cleansed and filled me, that I might Thy channel be. Channels only, blessed Master, but with all Thy wondrous power, flowing through us and out into us, every day and every hour, empty that Thou shouldest fill.
Amen.
Vessel in Thy hand,
Lord,
with no power on as Thou didst, graciously with each command. Channels only, blessed Master, but with all Thy wondrous power, flowing through us, Thou canst use us every day and every hour, witnessing thy power to save me, setting free from self and sin. Thou who boughtest to possess me, in thy fullness, Lord, come in. Channels only, blessed Master, but with all thy wondrous power, flowing through us, thou canst use us every day and every hour. Jesus, fill now with thy Spirit hearts that full.
Oh, 198. So we got, what's 198? Power in the blood. Power in the blood. And then she wanted it as well. Y'all gonna
only a sinner.
Only a sinner.
Power in the blood.
All right, we did it as well. Marcel, we'll do it as well next time. So this time we'll do 198. There's power, power, power. Here we go.
Wonderful. So, like, I realize that I'm trying, like, I was like, why? I'm trying
to
match your voice.
I realize that.
No, like, but I realize that, like,
here we go. 198.
Like, I'm trying to, like,
there is power. Here we go.
Would you be free from the burden of sin? There's power in the blood. Power in the blood. Would you worry for a victory win? There's wonderful power in the blood. There's power in the blood, power in the blood. Come for a cleansing to power inside. There's wonderful power in the blood.
Great, go ahead and pray for us and have a lesson.
Dear Lord, thank you so much for this time that we have to gather here tonight, Lord. I pray that it would just mean something to us, Lord. Just help it just to hit our hearts when we need to be hit, Lord. Just work in our lives, Lord. May the truth of your word just be the thing that guides us, Lord. Not the things in this world, not the things that we can get caught up in.
That's right.
All the different distractions, Lord, but the things that truly matter, the things that are eternal, Lord. May that just be what's on our hearts right now, Lord. Just prepare our hearts just to continue thinking about you, Lord. And if we weren't thinking about you enough during the song service, Lord, help us give us a little more grace. Help us think about you a little bit more so that we're not always ready for this right now, Lord. And I thank you so much, Lord. Just give Zach the words to say and just lay on us what you'd have us to hear tonight, Lord. And I pray all these things in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Why are you
sick?
Yo, Jerry!
What's up?
Yo, Jared. You just figured that out?
No.
Hey, you too.
I really just wanted to preach tonight because it's under the fan.
Hey.
Preach.
Got a sweat, man.
Good to know.
Yeah, that's right.
Can't do it. Too white. All right. Get your Bibles out. We won't flip anywhere just yet, but. Hope is that we would.
It's all good.
Alrighty. So, my lesson today is really just kind of a simple devotion. I don't really have anything too complicated. It's kind of just this one simple thought. And, you know, it's one of those things where I feel like as Christians, especially if you've been saved for a considerable amount of time and you're in the church and you're doing everything you're supposed to do, I don't know about you guys, but, you know, sometimes I wonder why I don't care about certain things more than I do. You know, understanding that I believe the realities that I believe. I believe that Christ rose from the dead. I believe that hell is a real place, heaven's a real place. The fact that there's certain things that I don't care about seems kind of odd. It like doesn't line up with the fact that the things that I believe and the fact that I don't care about them, it's weird. You know, I've always wondered sometimes how comes I don't care that I can talk to the literal creator of the universe. Like, I mean, if I had the big, I would be so proud of the red phone. If I had like the red phone to the president, like on my desk at work, and everybody that came to my desk, I'd just say, hey, you know what that phone is? You're like, what? President. Like, no way. Like, yeah, watch. You know. Yeah, you know, right? Hey, how you doing? You know, I'd be pretty stoked about that, and I'd probably use it, right? You know, I'd consider it powerful. I'd consider it meaningful. But sometimes I don't, you know, I don't care about prayer. I don't care about talking to the Lord. And so it's weird, right? I believe that I can talk to God, but then I don't seem to care about that fact. How come I don't care that my friends are going to go suffer an excruciating hell, right? I mean, that's a weird one where you're like, yeah, I believe there is a literal place of torment, but I don't care enough to tell anyone about it, right? It's weird. You know, if someone was on the ground right there on fire and screaming, I'd probably, like, I don't know, cry, something, freak out, you know, I'd be concerned about it. There would be an ache on my heart. I mean, heck, even just, you know, Bob Gregg dying, which I wasn't even, you know, praise the Lord, wonderful Christian, I wasn't as close to him as some people. That's still, like, for a week, you know, that you just walked around and there's just kind of this weird, like, somber part of your heart where you were just kind of carrying a weight around because you cared about him, right? But then people die and go to hell and, like, literally doesn't even peg the meter, right? You just think about your friends and you're like, yep, he's going to hell. I know it for a fact. And then you're kind of just like, oh, come on, care. Come on, I can squeeze that tear, you know? Yeah. It's odd. It's one of those things that's bothered me for a long time as a Christian. You know, how come I can sin and not feel anything? There are times where you sin and you're just like, whatever. Like, I know this literally pisses off and grieves the God of the universe that made me and created me, but I don't care. You know, it's why as Christians, especially Bible-believing Christians, where we know everything, we've been brought up the right way, why don't we care about these things that we claim to hold as truth in our Christian walk? And so, you know, the last one is like, how come when I read my Bible, it's like watching paint dry? How come it's easier to go mow the lawn than it is for me to some days crack open my Bible? Why is that? If I believe that was written from God, why do I, like, I mean, if Kenzie gave me a love note, I would have it open very fast, you know, a little love letter. But, you know, for some reason, God gave me one that tells me literally everything I need to do to live a successful life and a fulfilled life and a life that's glorifying to Him, and then it's a struggle and a burden for me to open it. And so I don't know if any of you have ever experienced that. I'm assuming that, you know, you guys have because you're, you know, a red-blooded Christian like me. And so a lot of us have this same thing where you're like, dude, I believe these things. Why don't I care? Like, am I broken? Is my carer broken? You know, what is it? And so we're going to look at one of the reasons I believe that our carer might be broken today. So I don't know if any of you remember, it doesn't feel like it was only a year ago, but when I did my lesson on time and like Luke chapter 16, I don't know if any of you remember that. For you guys that weren't there, it was basically a lesson on the concept of kind of like time as a currency, right? Every day, God gives you 24 hours that you get to spend. It's like a currency. You can either trade in that hour for whatever, video games, time with friends, sometimes for good things, like trading in for sleep, right? some days you're like, yeah, I'm going to put down an hour for a nap, you know. But then, or you could trade those hours in for Bible time, you know, witnessing, all the good things. And kind of how basically the overarching picture is that someday we're going to give an account for the way we spend our time, and God expects us to kind of make back what he gave us. So if he gave us 24 hours a day, he's expecting that we redeem that time and give something back to him because of that time he gave us. And so this lesson is kind of the spiritual successor to that. So if the last one was kind of the economy of time or the currency of time, this one's the economy of care, right? Currency of care. Because just like 24 hours in the day, just like time, there's a limited finite amount of time that you're going to be alive. There's an X number of hours, like a dollar amount that you get stamped on your life, and that's what you get to spend over the course of your life. I think there's actually the same thing with what you care about. I think there's a finite amount of care that you have in your life, in your person, and that you're able to have. And so I think a lot of the reasons our carers are broken is because we're burning out on the wrong resources.
Amen.
Kind of a couple things to kind of back up my theory here, my hypothesis. Number one, have you guys heard of Dunbar's number before? It was an old, I don't know if you call him a philosopher, or it was one of those days back when there was just like smart guys and they were just smart. You know, you know what I mean? Like, you're like, what was Da Vinci? I don't know, he was smart. Like, it wasn't anything special, right? Yeah, he didn't have like a degree or something, but this guy named Dunbar, basically him and his colleagues analyzed anthropological, contemporary psychological data. That's a lot of stuff about saying they looked at people and looked at group sizes ranging from like English century villages to residential campsites to military organizations to offices to communes to factories, even Christmas card lists. Basically all these like gatherings of people, and found that 150 is like kind of this weird odd limit of like the amount of people that you can care about. Strangely, it's like this maximum number of like the meaningful relationships you can have. And basically anything over that, like, you're just acquaintances. But you could technically, like, I mean, it's this weird, I mean, it's an unsaved guy, but it's interesting that the unsaved world recognizes that, yeah, I don't care how many friends you have on Facebook, you can't have more than like 150 people you call friends and actually be able to have a relationship with them. And I think, and they get into it, they even have different rankings for how close people are and, you know, whatever. It's interesting to look at sometimes. I mean, it's old school science, so I don't know how legit it is. But yeah, I found it interesting that, you know, even they understand that you can't love everybody, right? You can't be best friends with everybody because, like, I mean, you can love everybody, you know what I'm saying? But you can't be best friends with everybody because there's like, there's only so much time, there's only so much heart you've got to give, right? Or have you ever had a time in your life where you were really stressed or worried about something, and like, you're so burnt out, so worried and so stressed that someone could be like, hey, I ran over your dog. You'd be like, add it to the list, buddy. Like, you just like, at this point in time, I don't care what happens. Like, you know what I'm talking about, right? Like, you've been doing homework for like 6 hours and you're like, dude, I don't care. A plane could crash through the window right now, and I literally have in my lesson this picture. You remember the little this is fine guy, the little dude sitting like in a room that's on fire, and he's just like, whatever, it's fine.
Yeah, everything's fine.
Yeah, everything's fine. Yeah, I'm okay with the things that are happening around me, right? Basically, it's kind of one of those deals where you're like, yeah, I'm burnt out on care. I don't have any energy left to give to worrying about something more. I'm already maxed out. An example of that too, also, it can be things that you're excited about, right? You can be so excited about something that you could be like, no, I'm not going to worry about anything else. Funny example for me, I know Zach's heard this story, a few of you have. The night before my wedding, so, you know, I'm packing up. I was never going to move back to my house the night before my wedding. So I was like packing up to leave and move to Kansas City. And so I'm taking, it's 2 a.m., I'm taking one last trip to my car to kind of get some more things ready and situated. And you got to understand, I lived in the hood. so it wasn't that bad, but it's an old neighborhood, and like, I called the cops on people multiple times and like watched a couple domestic disputes, watched a chick get her hair ripped out. I mean, it was like caught a baby wandering in the street before. I mean, it's a weird place. I lived a few interesting places before I got married. So, you know, but hey, that's what happens when you're poor. So, you know, hey. But anyway, so I'm walking out this one last time to go load a few things in my car. And out in front of my house, there is one of your classic pimpmobile Cadillacs, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, you know it. You know the ones, right? You know. Yeah, Ethan knows. He's like, yeah.
It's a Jag, isn't it?
Yeah. So it's a pimpmobile Cadillac sitting in front of my house, and there are three hoodlums. You just tell. I mean, they're just like their pants are down at their ankles. You know, they're just like just a couple of quality. You know, 2 a.m. They're up to good stuff. 2 a.m. Right, and then. You know, I see them, and I make eye contact. All of a sudden, the three guys that are standing all turn and look at me. And then that's when I realize, so there's one guy kind of getting into the driver's seat of this car, right? And there's two guys by the back door holding an unconscious man by the arms and legs and, like, trying to stuff him into the back seat of this car. And so I'm just like... Well, and so we all make eye contact, and then I just hear the leader go, "Move!" And they all just, like, crunch into the car as fast as they can and, like, start peeling out. And so at that point in time, I go back inside, and I'm like, you know, it wasn't until a long time later that I realized that, you know, maybe that guy needed some help, or, you know, I should maybe, call the cops, call police, but no, see, here's the thing, I didn't care, because I was getting married tomorrow.
That's amazing.
And sorry, buddy, you put yourself in that situation. I'm getting married. Sorry, bud. You know, so even when you get excited about stuff sometimes, you can just be like, yeah, I don't care. I care too much about this other thing. And so, you know, I don't know if you guys have ever wondered. Have you ever pondered the fact that, so we live in a pretty comfortable place right now in history, right? Like, I mean, it's pretty awesome in terms of, like, even medical stuff. Do you realize the janky crap they did, like, 100 years ago? 50 years ago? I mean, so I'm learning more and more about, like childbirthing because now, we're pregnant. And, like, 50 years ago, like, when a lady was going to have a kid, they'd just knock her out with general anesthetic and she'd just wake up with a kid. It's like, what the crap? Like, it's weird stuff. Or, you know... I found out, like, 150 years ago in France, like, 1 in 5 women died when they were giving childbirth.
Wow.
It's like, holy crap, man. I'm really actually quite thankful to live in the time that we do, you know, right? So we live in a comfy time. We have AC, you know, sometimes.
You will.
you know, and so we've got all this weird, we've got all these comforts in life. You know, I can go out and get food whenever I want, and I don't have to worry. I've never had to worry, really, about a meal much. And if I did, there's some place that would give me one for free, right? I mean, it's like, how many of us actually would genuinely be trouble if we didn't have a meal? We'd be fine. We got enough extra to burn anyway, right?
Yeah.
How come in our generation, we're more depressed than any other generation that's ever lived? Is that kind of, like, weird to you guys? Where you're like, yeah, these people went through, like, world wars and, like, had their family die from polio.
Yeah.
And they were fine. But no, we're, like... We're living in such a hard time.
By the century, like, our kid meters going down.
Actually, I think it's the other way around. And so, I mean, for those of you that don't really know what depression is, so I haven't told my testimony in a long time, but I was depressed. I've been there, done that, medicated, had the fancy shrink in the whole nine yards, right? Back before the Lord got a hold of me. Yeah, it was part of how he got a hold of me. But depression is not sadness. If you think depression is like someone crying in the corner... Like, you got it wrong. That's just being sad. A depressed person would love to cry if they could cry, but that's not how it works. Depression is basically, like, you care so much for so long about too many things, and then you're, like, your carer gets, like, permanently broken, and it's just, like, literally you don't care about anything. The example was, college, right? Fancy, right? You know, you think you're going to be a hotshot when you get to college, and so you pay, you know, $10,000 to go to college for a year, and then I literally, like, set my alarm clock for a final... See it go off in the morning, like, oh yeah, that final's going on now. Whatever. You know? And put the phone down and go back to sleep and burn the $10,000 for the year, right? It's like, why does someone, like, do that? That's because they don't care anymore. And so depression is fundamentally like a burnt out on caring. And so I think, and we'll get into this more in later in just a couple of my theories about this, but I think we're depressed not because we, like, you know, I don't know, not because it's harder, not because there's so many... cultural inequities, right? We're more depressed because there's too much to care about right now. And so let's get into what the Bible says. Flip to Matthew 13.
You said 13?
Yes, sir. So this is one of the three, one of the four different responses to the gospel that, you know, we've talked about multiple times before. But we're just going to look at this one today and look at Matthew 13, verse 22. And so this is talking about someone that hears the Bible, and then verse 22 says, he that also received seed among the thorns, so he that received the Bible among thorns, is he that heareth the word, and that care of this world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word until he becometh unfruitful. Right? So it's saying this person doesn't become unsaved. This is talking about, you know, this relates to us as Christians, right? It's like, you're saved, right? So the next thing the devil can do is just put stuff around you to care about that will then make you unfruitful. And so, you know, that's one of the things that should perk your ears up when you're thinking about this, because you realize that, you know, it behooves the devil to give you cool things to care about. It behooves him to give you, you know, interesting, fun things, people in your life, hobbies, activities that you can take part of that cause you to care. And then once again, we talked about how care is a finite resource. So if you're burning that care on worldly things, now that care can't be spent for the Lord. And so that's, I think, one of the biggest examples that we can look at. Question for you guys, you know, what are some of the examples of cares in the world right now? I'm genuinely curious, like, kids your age, what do you guys care about? Bryson, what do you care about? Like, what are your classmates, what are they into?
My classmates, it's more on a social media perspective.
Social media.
Like, what's going on social media, what's going on sports-wise, what drama. So
That's what they talk about?
All it really is drama. It's like what this one said to that one, or what this one didn't say to that one.
Gotcha, yeah.
That's all they care about.
Yeah, social media, interpersonal stuff.
And
yeah.
typically someone like me, it's like, if they don't have something that this one said that, typically someone like me, a little person, it's typically like, oh, okay, well, we don't have this, so then they get bored, and then they start targeting people. So, it's pretty cool.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah, that's good stuff. Yeah. I don't know, like, what else do kids care about? Like, I don't know. The kids have... Like, is it just social media? Is that pretty much what you guys care about?
I care about my mom.
It's
not just social media, because there's a couple kids in my school who are like, they play club and stuff, that's like all they care about.
Yeah.
That's all they do. But some of them, they don't care about it. It's more like, if I don't do this, my parents aren't going to be impressed with me.
Yeah, okay, so I understand that. So it's not necessarily the activity, but just sometimes there's those kids that just get into it,
yeah.
Right?
It depends on the category and the crowd.
It really differs by the
category and the crowd.
Yeah.
But most of it's social media.
What do you care about, Ethan? You're grinning back there. What do you, what, huh?
No, we got some
more. You care about Jordan's mom, too?
Jordan's mom, yeah. Care about Jordan's mom.
Man, dude.
No,
Jordan's
just social media and sports. How me and my friend made a TikTok, and it like blew up, and we almost have a million likes on it.
Dude, no way.
Me and my friends made a TikTok at school, and it blew up, and now it has like
903.5k
likes.
Dancing.
Dang.
Probably just
I mean, that's pretty fancy. I have a YouTube channel with like 100,000 views. So.
Dang.
Back up.
What are you posting?
It was mini potato gun videos.
Huh.
And this is from high school. Yeah, it's good stuff. Yeah, ping pong ball and microwave, I think, was on one of the other top hits.
This is
old YouTube, man. This is old YouTube. So no, it's cool. It blows up. It, like, there's lots of fires.
Old YouTube was like this.
Old YouTube was awesome. It was just people posting stuff. It wasn't like this produced. You know, it was fun.
I know what I'm doing.
A couple weird kind of analogies, too, that I kind of think about. Like, here's the weird analogy for me. So I used to love, I had this crappy beat-up Honda, right, that I just loved. It was literally mud-colored, so you never even had to wash it. It was just that, it was the color of dust. So it was just, like, perfect. You know, you'd go out drifting off in the, you know, the country, and you'd, like, I don't know, one day I was, like, you know, we used to love driving around, and so you drive around, and like one day my cat fell off my catalytic converter, and I was just like, oh, sweet. So we just like straight piped it, and just were like, yeah, it's fine, you know, it's great. You know, someone could just like walk by and like door ding my car, and I'd just be like, hey, you know, like, right? I didn't care. And then now, like, and then all of a sudden you get like a nice car, and all of a sudden you're just like, I can't, like, that guy looks like he door dings. I'm not going to park next to him. Or, you know, and then now you're like, you can't, you know. So now all of a sudden, whereas before my car was just this fun thing that I brought around with me, now all of a sudden you go somewhere and you're just like, you know, like...
Who do I want to park by? Who do I
park? Exactly. You have to, like, you know, you don't want to park too close because then there's a lot of people walking by your car, but if you park far away, now someone sketchy could break in. You know, you have to think about these things versus if you have an old junky car.
You also don't want, like, a really crappy car because then you end up getting those stickers. It's like, we'll buy your car.
Oh my gosh, I get those for my house. Sorry.
We literally have a person in our neighborhood who drives, like, this really old Toyota Camry, and literally she just spray painted it.
Hey, you know what?
And it's all like falling off, so it looks really bad. Oh, that's even better.
But hey, I would love that card. I'm saying I would take that back. That's lovely.
Like, sagging. It's very bad.
That'd be great. But that's kind of a weird example, but it's kind of funny how like something as simple as getting a new car, now all of a sudden you have to care about that car, right? Like now all of a sudden that's something that's stealing from your quantity of care in your day. You know, another one, like when you start a new TV show, right? Like before that TV show, you were fine not watching TV, but now like the new season of Stranger Things comes out and like, I admit, you know, when season 4 drops, I'm just like, it will be done in a week. We will have watched nothing but Stranger Things for like 5 days. And like, you know, it's one of those things that it's, you know, if I would have never watched started the show, I would have never cared about it.
Yeah.
But as soon as you started off, all of a sudden now you're like invested and now, now my care quota is getting spent on this show or this relationship in the show or whatever. You know, it's like Kenzie, she's the best example for this because she's super smart, right? And she like loves books. But she like knows that if she starts a book, she won't like eat until it's done. And so literally I have read like, she has read like 2 books since we got married because she knows that if I start it, like,
dang,
I'm gonna finish it like that night.
Dang.
And so she like purposely won't do it because she knows that it's gonna just like take over her life. And so that's kind of a, you know, a funny example of like, it's stupid, but all of a sudden, yeah, if she read a book, all of a sudden she would now care an awful lot about that book. And for those couple of days, that care quota would just be hemorrhaging in the direction of a book.
I lost track of time, like, reading a book.
See, it happens. It really does.
Are you gonna eat? And I'm like, hold
What's
on.
That?
I only have,
like
5 pages left.
Yeah, or it's like when you get a new pair of kicks, you know? Like, I'm hip, I can say kicks, right?
You
can say whatever you want.
Right? You get new shoes, all of a sudden, like, you know, before, I love my boots, because you just, like... But you get your nice new shoes on and you're just like, watch out, you know, like you gotta pay
attention.
Especially white shoes.
That's why I get black shoes.
Yeah.
You don't have to
step on them.
See, now we're talking.
Don't touch me.
Yeah, exactly. So it's these weird things where it's like, it's kind of funny when you think about it that, like, oh yeah, that like does pull from my, like, on my, like, there's a mental expenditure because of that thing. And it's kind of weird. But I think it adds to that kind of, we have a lot of things to care about thing that we deal with. So all these things are things that draw from like kind of like our care bank, I guess is what I would call it, right? Every day you have X amount of care that you can handle. Some days it's more, some days it's less. I don't think it's a similar amount, you know. There's some days you wake up, you're like, dude, I got about this much in me today, you know. And then there's days where the Lord's with you, and you know, somehow by some grace of God, like, you put up with that coworker or that friend at school for the 5 hours that you had to put up with them, and you're like, praise the Lord, you know. So I don't think it's necessarily a consistent amount every single day, but you know, an interesting thing, and this is kind of where I want to throw some nuance on it too, is that it even happens with good things. Look at 1 Corinthians 7:33. Here's kind of an interesting example. And actually, I'll have you look up at verse 32 when you get there. So 1 Corinthians 7, verse 32 says, But I would have you without carefulness that he that is unmarried care for the things that belong to the Lord, how he may please the Lord, but he that is married careth for the things that are of this world and how he may please his wife. So, I mean, once again, we know that marriage is a gift by God. He who findeth wife findeth a good thing. Like, it's a blessing. It's a picture of Christ in the church. So I'm not saying that it's a bad thing, but here's the thing. It still technically is now a draw that you have on your carometer for the day. And so that kind of use that to define the example that even good things cost money, right? Good things cost care. You know, have you ever been friends with someone that got a significant other and then all of a sudden was like never the same again, right? They just completely changed as a person. We all know that happened. I mean, that happened to me as a person when I got a girlfriend, right? Like, you change. Why is that? Because now all of a sudden your care quota is like diminished. So there are just certain things that you're not going to be able to care about. You know, I never thought there would be a day as a person that I would like never play video games. You know, as a kid, my dad was like, someday, I was like, Dad, how can you do it not playing video games? I don't get it. He's like, dude, someday you just won't care. And I'm like, that would never be me. I would never let that be me.
And
all of a sudden you get married and you're like, oh yeah, I don't care. Like, it's like, you know, it's occasional to have the, you know, have the fun thing occasionally, but by and large, it's just like, you just don't see a lot of married guys doing that because they just got other stuff to worry about, right? So that care quota now is even smaller when you, you know, get a significant other or, you know, as a kid, right? That's like even the next top thing. And then, you know, another good thing, obviously buying a house is a good thing. This is, you know, something, I'm just giving you stuff that I've experienced in the last year, right? But now all of a sudden you have to care about whether your AC is going out. You have to care about replacing all the filters. You have to care about mowing your lawn now. You have to care about all these weird things that are like a strange mental tax that take from your day, take from your time, take from your effort. And so even though it's a good thing, you know, it's just kind of interesting that you're also paying like a care price for all of those different things. Or like, yeah, like I said, getting a baby, like, didn't think I cared about strollers before, but like, dude, we have now watched 5 million stroller videos, and we're like, we gotta get the right one, man, like, we're only gonna get one on our registry, and we gotta, like, we gotta get it, it's gotta last all 4 children, we gotta, you know, like, she wants 5. So, we're gonna try out one and see how it goes. But it's like this weird thing where like I didn't think I'd care about it, but now I do, and it's weird. Or strange thing, why I was late today, right? You get a promotion at a new job. That is a good thing. You did your job well. You were being the good Christian to serve as hard as you could for your boss, and now all of a sudden you have to care about so much stuff. You know, and so it's like, oh, holy cow, you know. So is that, like, you know, sometimes I wonder, like, was that promotion, like, worth it? Like, you know, now I make, I don't know, what, 10,000 more a year, but you have to, like, go home and every single night you're, like, thinking about all the things you got to do the next day and thinking about all the people you got to talk to and thinking, it's like this weird thing that, I mean, maybe you guys haven't experienced that now, but it's going to come. And so this is another place where balance comes in, obviously. So I'm not saying you're not supposed to do anything with your life, that you're supposed to stay single and never have kids and never have a house, just be a bum on the street. Like, that's not what I'm saying. Right? Obviously, just balance, you know, all those kinds of things. But I'm just more just trying to paint the picture and just kind of get this idea in your head that just everything you do has a care cost associated with it. And so, you know, paying attention to kind of your care finances is kind of important. Because I think that's how you end up in situations where you have, like, amazing preachers that ruined their whole family because they cared too much about whatever the motivation was behind the ministry and then failed to care for their family because they burnt it all up on ministry, right? So there's this weird thing where you can care too much for a good thing, too. You know, I know people who care too much about their kids, and, like, that's just their life, and they stop doing anything ministry-related for the Lord because they care too much about their family or their kids. So all good things, right? But there's a cost associated to it all, and you have to count that cost when you start adding things into your life and thinking about the things that are in your life. So kind of how do I evaluate some of the things that I care about? Flip to, I have verse 7. Perfect. That, nice job. I think I have the actual verse somewhere. 1 Peter 5, 7. There you go.
Just
I copy-pasted that wrong.
Kind of dumb. That's all we need. Okay. Just 7.
Yeah, 1 Peter 5, verse 7. Okay, 1 Peter 5, 7 says, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. So this is kind of a weird thing I was thinking about while I was doing this lesson. It's like, there are certain things in my life that if I casted them on Jesus, I'd feel kind of silly. Like, yeah. You know, there are things I care about where it's like, God, can you...
Yeah.
Help my team win. Yep. And it'd just be like, you say it out loud, you'd just be like, like, that's probably not, you know, or God, can you just make sure that couple in that TV show ends up together? I need to see it happen. I'm shipping it too hard. you know, it's this kind of this weird deal where, like, you know, it's a weird way of kind of checking, like, hey, if you could cast it to Jesus, if you could, it's that old adage, if you could ask Christ to bless it, right? Mm-hmm. You know, using that to kind of gauge the things that are in your life, because it's like, well,
how,
you know,
stupid would it make you feel?
Exactly, yeah, it's like, you think it matters until you actually kind of verbalize it or think about it in that way, and then you're like, yeah, that probably doesn't matter, does it? Okay, oops. You know, so that's one interesting one. Philippians 4, verse 6, I'll just read this one for you. It says, be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And so this is not talking about it's not talking about not caring about anything. Once again, you're not trying to be like the depressed person. The Bible gives you things to care about, but it's saying that you don't need to be careful for any of your needs, right? Hey, what did you do?
It's fine. You're fine. It's fine.
You want to share the class?
Isn't it
feel like the Holy Spirit is just reiterating?
There's a lot of good conviction coming to the
table. It's fine, Zach.
Okay.
That's good. That sounded like that other thing we just talked about.
Small context. I talked with Zach earlier about some stuff, and we literally went over that exact same verse.
Oh, good.
So I was like,
there you go. Right on.
I was telling him, because like I realized that I get like these moments where I'm like super anxious, and I don't know why I get like and then I get aggravated with myself because I'm super anxious, and then I like talked to him about it. He mentioned it because it was about robotics and about like the proposal I was talking about.
Yeah.
And then we went over like those verses in Philippians, and I'm like,
There you go. Yeah. No, we got the same brain, dude. Kenzie's heard me about 15 times for the last 2 weeks. Be like, I'm so anxious, and I'm so stupid that I'm anxious.
I get mad at myself for being anxious, and then I start panicking.
Yeah, yep. No, I feel that. We got the same brain, bud. We're doing the same thing. So, but anyway, and so that verse I kind of like to combine with Matthew 6:34, which is says, take therefore no thought for the morrow, for the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. What that kind of says to me, sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. Basically, God's given you enough care to deal with the things in the day that you have to deal with. And so there's a couple things that go wrong with that. And I think this kind of, you know, is bringing me back to why I think our generation is more stressed out and more depressed than any other generation. You know, think about, you know, what in God's initial plan a man would have had to care about. Right? He'd have to care about, I don't know, keeping his family fed. Like, you know, this little small group of people that he's in. Because God, I mean, cities aren't biblical, right? God didn't intend for man to live in gigantic cities with a million people. He intended for them to live in, you know, kind of small rural communities, basically, you know, just living together and living off the land, being sustained by the Lord, not in these gigantic metropolises where sin can just run rampant and all these things. Think about how much that person would have to care about. Like, think about how simple it would be to just be like a farmer in a town of like 150. Like, dude, even growing up in a town of 30,000, I can tell you there was just nothing to care about. Like, you could go read the newspaper if you want. You just say, all you got is like the Obids and like... Yeah, it is. In a small town of 30,000. You know, that's all you got. You know, Carney Hub goes down, you're toast, man. That's the news, you know? And so it's like, you know, there's never any murders. There's never any homicides. There's never any robberies. It's just, like, boring, right? But think about how little that you have to, like, it's, like, so calm and so peaceful. You never have to, like, worry about these things. But now think about what we put ourselves through, where we now have a device in our pocket that allows us to worry about stuff that's going on all around the world. You know, I don't think that was God's intention for us. Was, you know, think about, like, the Russia to Ukraine is a great example, right? I heard a lot of people really freaked out about that. But, you know, look at that verse, take no thought for the things of tomorrow, the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. The biggest reason why you're not supposed to take thoughts for the things of tomorrow is because you can't do anything about it. It's not tomorrow yet, right? So if you're looking and you're saying, I'm going to worry about today, I'm going to worry about tomorrow, I'm going to worry about the next day, now you're trying to pay for the worry of all those days with one day's care quota, right? That's why you're going to burn yourself out, because you're trying to pay for too much with what you've got for the day. And so the same thing happens with you worrying about things that, look, I can't affect Ukraine. I can make my Facebook profile picture of the Ukraine flag, but, like, that ain't doing anything, right? There's nothing I can do for Ukraine from here, so there's no point in me thinking about it. Say a prayer for my brothers that are Ukrainians and just move on, because I know there's no point, right? There's nothing I can do about it. Guess what? God's in the Ukraine, too. He's got it. It's fine.
Amen.
You know, like, it's going to be okay. And so I think our generation is more stressed out than anything else because we just have too much to care about. Partially because, we care too much about the future. we've got WebMD. If anybody's like me, you got like this weird pain in your leg, you go Google it, all of a sudden you've got cancer, you know, and like, and then it's like 5 days so you can go see your doctor, so you put in the appointment, you're stressed out for all 5 days, and you feel great that day when you go see him, and then you're like, well, I guess it's fine. And then, you know, that's his life, right? And then, you know, and I thought about this the other day. My family's kind of weird. We take a lot of pride in, you know, we do a lot of things. We have a lot of hobbies. It's this weird thing with my family, and, you know, we spend a lot of time on a lot of things that don't really matter. So that's just kind of the way I grew up. But I would always, like, my thing was, like, making fun of boring people. I love to make fun of, like, that dude doesn't have any hobbies, what a loser, you know? I'm like, you realize Jesus was probably pretty boring, like, in that aspect, right? Like, he wasn't probably playing on a sports team. Like, he wasn't a Florida club soccer. He probably, you know, didn't have a ton of hobbies outside of going to the synagogue and talking to people. You know, he probably didn't spend time working on his house because he didn't have a house, right? you know, he had a job to fulfill his ministry, and then he had his ministry, and that was, you know, pretty much what he did, right? You know, and think about, you know, him as our example. You know, I wonder how many things that I have that Christ would never have cared about. Kind of going back to that idea of could you even cast it to Christ if you're stressed out about it? And so basically that all comes to, you know, to my brain, you know, as a reason why our generation is so depressed is because we've got too much to care about. There's too many activities. There's too many hobbies. There's too much stuff to do. There's too much information. There's too much access. You know, every single social media account that you add now, you've got to worry about how many likes that post got. Now you add a new video game, I gotta worry about my rank. Oh, the season ends in 3 weeks, and I wanna be gold tier by the time that's done so I can get that stupid skin. So I've got to, you know, right? It's like now all of a sudden I started this video game, and now it's like a daily draw on my care level, right? And so it's kind of like that Netflix subscription that I never watch, but it just keeps pulling out of my bank account. It's now this thing that just like is it on the rest of my day that I'm paying for, but not getting anything beneficial out of it. So really, there's no big wrap-up to this lesson or anything like that. It was really just the whole point of this lesson was to just kind of encourage you guys to think about the idea of everything you add into your life, yeah, it's got a time cost, but it also has an associated care cost. And so sometimes when we add things into our life or we evaluate the things that are worth keeping in our lives, we need to take into account, you know, what is that cost? So, you know, before I start, you know, grab the right piece of paper. You know, before I start a new hobby, there are hobbies that I'm just like, yeah, if I get into that, I would just get obsessed, right? Before I start a new hobby, before I start a new movie or new, you know, that TV show that's got 500 episodes and 15 seasons, right? You know, like, do I really need to just, like, sign myself up for caring about this for 5 years? You know, I made the mistake of starting a book series that's got, like, 16 books and they're all that thick. And so now it's just like, dadgum, like, 3 years later and I'm, like, halfway through the series and I'm like, great, this is just, like, 5 years of my life that I've, like, now care about this stupid series. But then, of course, you've sunk the cost into it, so now you're like, now I gotta see it out, you know? You know, but before, or even starting, like, a new relationship, right? Like, you know, I think that's something that if you guys have paid attention at all in youth group, you'll see kids that come in and start to get on fire for the Lord and start to do something good and start to learn. And then all of a sudden, you got a girlfriend? Oh, wow, how'd that happen? You know? And so, you know, things to... you know, so... you gotcha.
The Lord is doing good things.
Oh, golly.
Thanks, man.
Anytime. But anyway, but I mean, you guys have seen it. You know, I don't have to, and I'm not saying, once again, this is that idea of, like, it can still be a good thing, but still cost something, right? And so you got to just ask yourself, hey, you know, is this something that I can afford right now? Like, do I have the bandwidth to handle this thing? Do I have what it takes to, you know, afford this girlfriend right now when in reality we can't get married for like 30 years anyway? So it's like, I don't, you know, yeah, like now I'm just going to end up paying for this for, you know, 5 years before it becomes anything, or, you know, things to think about. So really that's all it is just as you guys look at your life and what you have in it, just kind of count the cost of what it, you know, weighs on you in the care aspect. So that's really all I have.
Amen.
Everybody go ahead there. Go ahead and bow your heads, guys. Well, that was good right there. Like Jared said, last time he did the currency of time, what you're spending your time on. Today he talked about how your care is finite and, you know, what it can go to. Yeah, absolutely. I had some good conversations with some of you guys before class started just about, you know, where our focus is and how it's hard to build two intimate relationships at the same time, all this stuff like that. We did a lot of joking and clowning around and stuff like that, but that was just having a good time in the spirit, guys. And that's what the Lord does. It's like a family. When you come up here, when you're willing to come to church and you're willing to submit to the preaching of the Word of God, God will give every one of us something that we need.
Amen.
I got a ton of stuff from that message right there. All right. That's exactly what I needed. And if you were open to it, if you came with your heart prepared, I guarantee you got a buttload of stuff right there, man. That's what the Lord does. That's why we come here. That's why the Bible says man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God shall man live thereby. So praise the Lord for that. I want you guys to, while your heads are bowed, your eyes are closed, think about, you know, what Jared talked about tonight. Think about what the Holy Spirit of God said to you. We kind of picked on Bryson a little bit, but, you know, he was honest and willing to talk about that. He's going to get a blessing for that if he listens to what the Lord gave him. All right? We're not just hearers of the word, but doers of it, right?
Amen.
So I don't know what God was saying to you all. You know, maybe the tension was on him, but the Holy Spirit of God was saying even more to you. I don't know. But hey, don't take these opportunities, don't take these good times like this where God comes and he meets with us and gives us what we need and just take that thing as like a passing thing, like, well, that was good tonight, what's next? I want to encourage you to care about what was said tonight. Take the currency, take whatever cares you have left in your pocket. If we look at care as money, take it all and put it on the altar right here. Throw your cares at what you just heard tonight and be considerate of what was given to you. And ask what God did in your heart. Ask him to establish a plan for you now to implement those things, all right? So I'm going to pray for us. I want you guys to do that. But Jared, awesome message. Thank you so much for that. And we'll ask the Lord to bless his word that went forth tonight. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for the sweet time we had tonight in the book. Thank you for you just enriching my life with Bible-believing men and women, Lord, that love you, that have taken the time to let you speak to them. And for them to be able to take their lives and the things you're doing with them, Lord, and give it to us in a way that we can digest it, Lord, and benefit from it. Thank you so much for that, Lord. And that's what iron is. Iron sharpens iron, and that's what this church is. And thank you for our pastor that, you know, has an atmosphere for us to be able to do things like this. Yeah. And I pray for these kids that maybe didn't come, you know, here tonight thinking that they would hear something that relevant to what they were doing, Lord. But now that it's happened, I pray and ask that they wouldn't push the Holy Spirit away. I pray that they wouldn't grieve the Holy Spirit of God, Lord. I pray that they wouldn't quench him. Whatever it is he said to them, whatever it is he wants to do in their life, I pray that they would yield to that, Heavenly Father. You know what? There's only a certain amount of time and opportunity that we have to listen to what God gives us. And after a while, based off of what we're doing with it or don't do with it, the Holy Spirit of God will stop speaking to us like that, Lord. So help us not to think that this is regular, this is a normal thing. Help us to understand, Lord, that this is a special opportunity where God took the opportunity to give us something where we could get it. I pray and ask that we wouldn't let it go to the ground. Help us to be like Samuel, Lord, let none of the words fall to the ground.
Amen.
Well, we love you and thank you. We trust that you will bless your word that went forth tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, guys, good stuff. We'll see you Sunday. Oh, whoa, by the way, Sunday we start our, what do you call that? Cleanup crew. Youth group cleanup crew, all right, Sunday. So I'll need some ushers. We won't have to actually clean anything thoroughly until next Thursday, but just a heads up. May is our month.
Have you seen Back to the Future? When they go into 2015?
Yeah.
For an entire year, my dad talked about how we should have blind cars.
I agree.
And I was like, really? This is what you're spending your time trying to figure out? Why we don't have blind cars?
I don't know. I like that.
I like